Okay. As many of you know, my shir knows, I was zoche to be in Chutz Laaretz. I say zoche, I went for a simcha baruch Hashem. I just came back from a trip. Oftentimes when you go on trips, there are experiences that take place that you want to share that took place. I want to actually just begin the shmooze with a conversation that took place with an alumni of Torah Traga on this trip, somewhere along my journeys. I don't want anyone to know what this is about, but it could have been, unfortunately, many alumni that are from our yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, we're proud of all of our alumni. Some are doing better, stronger in their Avodas Hashem. Some definitely need chizuk in their Avodas Hashem. I sat down with a Talmud of mine from many, many years ago. He's working now. I said, hey, we'll call him Yankel, because I like to call people Yankel. Yankel, how's it going? Rebbe, it's going great. How's your job? Great. And how's your Avodas Hashem? How's Yiddish guy going? And I explained why I asked that question. I don't only care about I care about the physical being, about my students for sure. But if I care about my Talmidim, like we all care about our Talmidim, then we also care about where they're holding in their Yiddish guide, in their Avodas Hashem. So I said, Yalker, what's going on in the Yiddishkeit? How you doing in that department? You know, minyan and learning and all the mitzvot, you know, taryag, all the good things. And Yalker said back to me, you know, I'm having a hard time, Rebbe. So what do you mean? He said, listen, I'm at work, and there's a lot of pressure at work, and the environment isn't exactly conducive to Avodas Hashem constantly. In fact, oftentimes it's very, very contradictory to my lifestyle as a Jew. Sometimes I'll be challenged for my behaviors, for my actions. Oh, we're going out to have a chill time together at work. Why can't you come with us? What? Explain to you why you can't drink. There's a quote. Why can't you drink champagne? You know what champagne is? Just a little bit of water and grapes. Well, you can't have water, you can't have grapes. Like, what's the problem with that? Truth be told, he said, it's hard for me to answer these questions fully. And it's not only at work, he said. Sometimes my friends, my chevra, they're not exactly always doing things that are conducive and inspirational to strengthening my Avodas Hashem. So the conversation didn't last much longer than that, because whatever the situation was, I had to move past it. But it got me thinking a lot. That and other experiences I had on my trip, and got me thinking about a very, very important topic that I'd like to share with you this morning. And that was the inspiration for this topic, and I'll try to begin and explain to you hopefully what I want to try to impart to you today. We're reading now the Parshios, we know in the Torah of the Avos, and we're towards the end now of the Avos. We now are Yaakov Avinu is on the scene. The focus of the next Parshios, Vayetze, Vayishlach, till the end of Sefer Bereishis, we have Yaakov and we have Yaakov's children. I want to focus a little bit on Yaakov Avinu and just try to highlight one point about Yaakov Avinu that I think is very, very unique about Yaakov, which the Torah focuses on a lot. And we'll use that hopefully to springboard to topics very relevant to us in our lives. The Midah of Yaakov that I want to refer to is the Midah of Shlemus. Shlemus means he was complete. Yaakov Avinu was whole. Not H-O-L-E, but W-H-O-L-E. He was whole, he was complete. Yaakov was a Shalem. Shalem as a Jew. How do I know that? Let's go on a little tour together for a few quick moments. Last week's parasha, Esav and Yaakov are introduced on the scene. Esav is called Ish Sadeh. Yodei Atzayit Ish Sadeh. Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Olim. What does Tam mean? So we all translate Tam from the Pesach Seder. Tam means he's a simple one. The Unkelus translates Tam as Gavar Shalim. Gavar Shalim means he was a whole person. He was a very, very perfect individual. Yaakov had a certain perfection to him, a wholeness to Yaakov Avinu. At the end of this week's parasha, we learn about Yaakov and his interactions with Lavan. Lavan, the father-in-law, the shver that no one wants to have, who tricks his son-in-law, Chazal say, the Pasuk says, 100 times, tries to trick his wages and his deals and conditions. It's a disastrous situation which Yaakov Avinu finds himself in, and we find that Yaakov is unbelievable in his work ethic. Perfect. As close to possible in the work ethic. In fact, the Rambam famously at the end of Hilchos Sechiras describes Yaakov and his work ethic by Lavan, an unbelievable expression. Right, exactly. We rehearsed together, we rehearsed. The Chayin Chayim, that's my father's line, I stole my line, it's different from my father, I'm sorry. The Chayin Chayim Lavo B'chol Kocho says around the last lines of Hilchos Sechiras. You have to work with all of your strength. Sharei Yaakov HaTzadik Omar, very strange language in the Rambam, Yaakov the Tzadik says, Ki b'chol kochi avadati yisavich, and I worked for your father, Rachel and Leah, with all of my koach. Pretty amazing. Pretty remarkable. Yaakov's work ethic, perfection almost. Next week's parasha Vayishlach. Vayavo Yaakov shalem yishchem. Yaakov, after his big journey, Lavan wasn't exactly the easiest character to deal with. He comes shalem. Rashi says, what's shalem mean? Shalem begufo. Physically shalem. Shalem mamono. Shalem in his money. Shalem betoraso. There's a shlemus. There's a wholeness, a completion which exists by Yaakov Avinu. And maybe the best example, perhaps, of Yaakov shlemus is at the beginning of this parasha. The famous dream. V'nei malachei Elokim olim v'yordim bo. The angels are going olim, going up, v'yordim bo. What does bo mean? The Medrash has a debate. Maybe it means the ladder, and some say it means in Yaakov. They're going up and down in Yaakov. How do they go up and down in Yaakov? Because they go down in this world and see Yaakov. And they go up to the Kisei HaKavod, and they see Yaakov's face in the Kisei HaKavod. That's pretty impressive. Unbelievable. Bo and Yaakov. Malachei Elokim, olim v'yordim bo. Perfection par excellence. The ultimate perfection. Yaakov is this almost close to perfect being. Who every aspect of his life is speaking, is screaming out, calling out, shlemus. What is this idea of shlemus? What does it mean to be a shalem? What does it mean to be an individual who's whole, who's complete in the avodas Hashem? So I once saw a beautiful, beautiful idea. I'll tell you where I saw it, in the Sefer Imre Baruch, Rabbi Simon Shlita from YU, Sefer Ala Torah. I'll tell you where you can find it if you want to see it inside the Parshas Emor. And it's a beautiful, beautiful description of what I think shlemus really is, and I'll try to explain it to you as follows. Parshas Emor deals with the different mumim, different blemishes, which make a karban, pasul, unfit for being a karban. One of those blemishes is called sarua, sin, resh, vav, ayin. Rashi says, what's sarua? Sarua means one of the limbs of the animal is larger than the others. It's off balance, it's off kilter. The animal, instead of having all the same size limbs, one limb is bigger than the other. What's the mum of that, and what's the remez of that mum? So Rav Shechter Shlita explained, based on a comment which he heard, Rav Nissen Alpert, Zatzal Rav Arashiva's Rebbe, say, at Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal's Levaya, who was Rav Nissen Alpert's Rebbe, the following idea about Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein, everyone knows, was a great gadol in America. Rav Nissen Alpert said about Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know what's so great about him? He was what's called a normal gadol, the most normal gadol imaginable. What does that mean to be a normal gadol? So Rav Nissen Alpert explained that sometimes people, they excel in one area. They're really good in one department. They dive in, lights out. They dive in unbelievably. But like in other areas, they're pretty schwach. You know, they can use improvement in their chesed. They can use improvement in their learning. They can use improvement in their midos. Said Rav Nissen Alpert about his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, that Rav Moshe was unbelievable. He was perfect in all areas. His midos were unbelievable, so refined. His Talmud Torah was world-renowned. His chesed was... Everyone knew about Rav Moshe Feinstein's chesed. Every area was to perfection. Said Rav Nissen Alpert about Rav Moshe Feinstein. Said Rav Shechter, perhaps that's what the mum of sarua means. What's sarua? When one limb is bigger than the others, it shows that, you know, there's this off balance over here. Something is, yeah, he's great in one area, but how about the rest of him? There's something missing in the shlemus, in the wholesomeness, in the whole picture of the individual. That's why sarua is a mum, which makes a carbon unfit, and that's why in a person, as an individual, it's good to excel in areas, but it's ideal to excel and to be a whole individual that excels in all areas. One more vart before I move over to what I want to try to focus on. Very quickly. Everyone knows the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Mishnah says, the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ashlosha Dvarim, help me out guys, make sure we're awake over here. Ha'olam Omeid, Ala Torah, Ve'ala Avoda, Ve'ala Gemilas Chastadim, Givaldik, beautiful. Everyone knows that Mishnah. Who's the Olam? What's the Olam? Ashlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid. I'm sure this is in the first one. I didn't have a chance to look it up. Maybe afterwards someone could tell me where this is found, or maybe it's not found, but it probably should be found somewhere. Chazal say b'shvili nivra ha'olam. A person is supposed to say that the world was created for me. When the Mishnah says, al shlosh advarim ha'olam omeid, it means the person who the world was created for stands on three things. It's not enough to be great in Torah. Torah is very important. It's not enough to be great in Avodah. Says the Mishnah, you want to be omeid, you want to be worthy of having the world created for you? Al shlosh advarim ha'olam omeid. A person, the olam, ha'shalim, the person who is a mini world, stands on three legs, not on one leg. He has to have Torah, he has to have Avodah, he has to have excelling in Gemilas Chasadim as well. Yaakov is Shalim. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal was Shalim. I'm talking about high and lofty ideas. You're probably saying to yourself, hopefully you're still with me, the following thing. Rabbi, it's very nice, beautiful Torah, Shkoyach, thank you very much. I'm a Shana Aleph kid in Torah Traga. I'm not holding by Rav Moshe Feinstein right now. I'm a Shana Bet boy in Torah Traga. I'm on my way, but I'm not exactly, you know, holding my Yaakov Avinu Shlemus. So why are you going? Why are you shooting so high? Why are you talking way beyond me? This has nothing to do with me and my life. Talk to me. So I want to talk to you. I want to tell you something, which is pasha to me and pasha to everybody. Yaakov Avinu didn't start out Yaakov Avinu. Started out just Yaakov, Yankala. Rav Moshe Feinstein wasn't born a Gadol Hador. There's no such thing as a person who's born a Gadol Hador. No one's born into godless. They became who they became. Yaakov Avinu became Yaakov Avinu. He grew into Yaakov Avinu. Rav Moshe Feinstein grew into Rav Moshe Feinstein. There's one step that they definitely took to become who they became, which we also hopefully are taking to become who we become as well. There's a phrase, a term, which everybody knows. And every Rebbe in the Teshiva, those that are here, those that are not here, all have that as part of their dream for each and every one of you, for our Talmidim. And that is what the phrase is called, a Ben Torah. What do we want from our Talmidim? We want everyone to grow to the best as they can. We want everyone to become as strong as they can. We want every one of you, on your madriga, according to where you're at, according to who you are, to become the best Ben Torah that you could be. What's a Ben Torah? What does that even mean? Just tell me, what is that? So let's try to describe a little bit what's a Ben Torah. The word Ben Torah, the phrase Ben Torah means that I am a son of the Torah. What does that mean? It means that my actions, my speech, my behavior, my demeanor, my wholeness is a reflection of the fact that I am a Torah Jew. And I live my life according to the Torah. That's who I am. I am a Ben Torah. You ask Lahavdil, sorry. When I was growing up, I mentioned this to Shu yesterday. When I was growing up, there was a very good basketball player, Lahavdil, El-Vavidos. His name was Michael Jordan. You may have heard of him. He was a pretty good ball player. He's decent. Okay, is he better than LeBron or not? Yesh Lion, doesn't really matter so much. It's Hilcha Solom Mashiach, it doesn't make a difference. But Rabosai, who was he? He was the best ball player out there at the time. Back in, when I was growing up, he was the man. You thought of basketball, you thought number 23 on the Chicago Bulls. That's what you thought. That was basketball. That's who he was. Lahavdil, Allah Vadal, you see a Ben Torah, you see a person who is a reflection in everything he does of the Torah that he learns. It's not like, okay, Torah's in the base, and then I go out and I start my life all over again, and Torah's nice when I'm in yeshiva, but after yeshiva, you know, goodbye Charlie, I'll leave the Gemara behind. No. It's Torah permeates my being, and it's part of me in every single aspect of my life. For example, he dresses like a Ben Torah. What does that mean? I don't know, we all know what it means. I don't have to tell you. I'll tell you how Ben Torah doesn't dress. I'm not calling anybody out. No shots are being fired at anybody right now. But Ben Torah doesn't dress with ripped jeans. And, you know, I'll be so graphic. You know what I'm talking about. That's not how he walks around. He'll never be caught like that. That's not who he is. He's a Ben Torah. When a Ben Torah speaks, he speaks in clean language. No matter where he is. He could be on the basketball court. He can miss an easy layup. And the words out of his mouth are, Baruch Hashem. Or, shoot. Or whatever. Shucks, I'll get it next time. But he plays ball like a Ben Torah. The ref makes a bad call. You know what he does? Nothing. Doesn't open his mouth. You know why? Because his midos reflect the fact that he's a Ben Torah. I'm going to yell at the ref. Is it going to help anyway? It'll make the ref more upset at me anyway. There's no point in arguing with the ref. But that's not why I don't argue. I don't argue with the ref because a mensch, a Baal Midos, doesn't argue with the ref. What's the? It's against my teva. It's against my nature to argue with the ref on a call. A Ben Torah chills like a Ben Torah. What does that mean? It means all nights of the week. Monday night, Thursday night, I don't want to say Saturday night because I don't like that word, Matzah Shabbos, no matter when he's out or in, when he needs a little time to break, he breaks and he chills like a Ben Torah. He's not a Ben Torah like, you know, sometimes he's consistently a Ben Torah. Then he's zocha to earn the phrase of a Ben Torah. But, my dear friends, it's not only about consistency. It's not only about being a consistent Ben Torah. And please listen to this point that I want to share with you right now. It's also about being fully committed, being fully in as a Ben Torah. I can't be 50%. I can't be 75%. I can't be 99.5%. I got to be 100% in. Who said so? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe 50% is good enough. I'd like to share with you a tremendous paragraph from the Sefer Shaarei Tshuva, right at the beginning. Rabbeinu Yonah. Nebuch, some Sfarim have mazel more than others. The Shaarei Tshuva has more mazel around the Shana Yom Kippur time because it's about Tshuva. It's a beautiful Sefer. My son in Yeshiva learns this Sefer every single day with his Rebbe. They're trying to finish the entire Sefer this year. He's only 12 years old, my son. A beautiful Sefer. Rebbe wants to learn with his boy. That's the most they learn in Yeshiva. Beautiful. Listen to this paragraph of Rabbeinu Yonah. The Atah Bina Shema Zos, please listen carefully, he says, Ki Ikar Gadol, this is a very, very important principle in our lives. Emes HaDavar, Ki Yesh Na Tzadikim, there are some Tzadikim, Shenichshalim B'chait Lifamim, sometimes we mess up. He quotes a Pasuk. But they conquer the Yetzirah many times. And if they fall one time, they don't go back to that Avera. And they do Tshuva. Listen carefully to these words. A person that decides, you know what? I'll keep most of the mitzvahs, but one avera I'm not in for. Count me out. I don't like it. I don't understand. I don't like that one. You know, Shomer Negiah? It's not for me. Maybe for the guys that are shut a bet. Maybe for the guys that, you know, that wear big black velvet yarmulkes on their head. But I'm not that guy. I'm just a simple Shana Aleph guy. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, I'm really sorry. Even though he's careful from every other Avera in the Torah, he won't do any other Avera. Karu Chachme Yisrael Mishum. Can't say the words. Mishuma L'davar Echad. I'm not even going to translate that. Ask your Rebbe afterwards what it means. You can ask me also. I'll tell you afterwards. The Gadol Avono Minaso. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, his Avera is too much for him to carry. Let's say I have a master. I say to my master, listen, we'll make a deal. Whatever you tell me, I'll do, except for one thing. What is that? You're not an Eved. You're a master. You're telling me, I'll show you, Hashem, how to work the world. 612 are good. Just the 613, it's not for me. I both say, that's strong words of Rabbeinu Yonah. It's true. I'm not going to lie. Strong words. Let's think about it, though, honestly. What are we trying to drive towards? We're trying to drive towards the following thing. We're not there yet. It's a life's mission. But we're trying to drive not only for consistency in our Avodas Hashem, but also for being absolutely committed, all in. 100% in. Is it always easy? It's not always easy. Sometimes it's very hard. But you know what? We're all in. I want to share with you three stories from my childhood. I take zero credit, as you'll see, for any of these stories. They were done to me. But I'll show you how I was trained, at least a little bit in this area, to try to work towards being a Ben Torah. I get zero credit. We mentioned before Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. I'll tell you this, a quick little anecdote from all three. When I was 12 years old, my father had a great idea. We're going to learn all of Mishnayos and Zikin from our Bar Mitzvah. It wasn't so common in those days to make Siyum at your Bar Mitzvahs. Not everyone did it. Now it's more common, Baruch Hashem. I'll be honest with you, I was a 12-year-old boy. I wasn't so excited about learning the Zikin. Baba Basa wasn't exactly calling my name. But my father was very persistent. And he sat me down with love every single time and learned every Mishnah of Mishnayos and Zikin from our Mitzvah. I felt good on our Mitzvah. I felt very good about it. But I also learned a very, very important lesson about Torah. Sometimes it's convenient. There's a challenge coming up. Everyone's going to be pumping. Whoa! I'll come back to the challenge soon. Don't worry. That's not only my only challenge shout-out. But there's sometimes it's not convenient. I'm not loving it so much. I'm not feeling it right now. It didn't make a difference. My father trained me that, yeah, you're feeling it? Great. You're not feeling it? Come, let's feel it together. We'll push through together. We'll have a great time. In those days, I really didn't appreciate it at all. I look back now, almost 30 years later, and I say to myself, if only I had more time to learn my father, if only I would have taken advantage of those years and my father wanted to learn with me more, I would have been a much different person today than I am right now. Avoda. Listen to this story. Many times my father, Shlita, would come home at night from a long day, and he would miss Meiriv and Shul. And it wasn't those days. I grew up in Fairlawn, New Jersey. In those days, there was like 1 minute for Meiriv, maybe a second one, and that was it. And you missed Meiriv, you missed Meiriv. So what do most people do at that point? You just dive in Meiriv and go to sleep. That's not what I saw. I saw the following situation many times. My father would get on the phone, call up, take out his shul list, and call up different balabatim, different members of his shul. And he would say, hi, Joe. Hi, Rabbi. It's 11:39. Hi, Rabbi. How are you? Great. Did you dive in Meiriv yet, Joe? And Joe would say, no, Rabbi. My father would say, great. You're number 10. Come to the shul. And I would watch this. I'm like, Abba, number 10? I think he's number 2 or 3. Yeah, but by the time the rest of the guys come, he'll be number 10, he said. And kissi there. This didn't happen once or twice in my life. This happened multiple times. I watched this. I was like, in shock. It's Meiriv. You know, Meiriv is with Shus. He had every... I know. He had every excuse in the book. Every excuse in the book not to daven Meiriv with a minion that night. But not only did he want to daven Meiriv, he also wanted to bring others in when it wasn't convenient, because that's what it means to be a committed Oved Hashem. I was zochet to go to MTA. Shout out. I was zochet to go to MTA. One of the best parts about MTA is that there's no yeshiva school on Friday. It's one of the best parts. I'm not going to lie. It was great. I had to spend my Fridays every single Friday of my high school year, 3 years in high school at MTA. One way only. I played ball. I davened. I had breakfast probably. And then I played ball. We had a very big court next to my house. All my friends that were in MTA and around would come play ball. We played ball all day on Friday. Until my father would come, always at the worst time, and say, let's go, we're going. I'd be like, Abba, it's a tie score. Not now. He's like, we're going. I knew where we were going. Every Friday, my father took myself and my siblings to visit on Friday afternoon two people that were shut-ins in the community that couldn't leave their home. Mr. Malka Zechorin Levracha, Mr. Katz Zechorin Levracha, beautiful Jews who were so sweet and amazing that they couldn't leave their home. And we would come and sit with them for a little while and pick them up a little bit. And just to make a long story short, every time, every Friday, on the way out, my father would say to all of us children three words. He would say, children, don't sell it. Don't sell it means ball's important. And it is important. I like ball. I used to like it more. I still like it though. But chesed, even though it's not convenient, don't sell it. It's so precious. And I'll prove it to you. I'll prove you was right. Because this is almost 30 years later, 25 years later, and I'm not talking about the ball anymore so much. And I'm telling over the story that happened to me as a little kid almost 30 years ago. Committed. When it's not convenient, when it's not so easy, when it's not so popular, when everyone's not doing, but 100% in, that's the goal that we try to have. Sometimes there are things that pull us away, friends pull us away. Sometimes we're at a simcha and something is going on that's not exactly like the way a Ben Torah wants to see things going on. And it takes strength and courage to say at that time, this is not me, this is not what I do. This is not a Ben Torah. My friends are going to a beach and it happens not to be a mix, it happens to be a mixed beach. Hashem Yishmor. Hashem Yirachim. But I'm a Ben Torah. I don't go there. Because that's not what a Ben Torah does. I just don't do it. I don't do it. And if I have a challenging situation, I'll work it out. I'll speak to my Rebbe, I'll speak to my parents. I'll try to get guidance and a clear head to be able to handle a situation that I'm put into. How do we get to this place called Ben Torah Land? How do we get there? Like, what's the road? What's the express train? There's no express train. There's no, like, you know, express train to Tel Aviv in 30 minutes. That's for sure not the train to go on to get to become a Ben Torah. But what are some tips? Just three very quick ones before we close. Chazon Ish writes, if a person wants to become more attached to halacha, learn halacha. If tzitzis don't mean too much to you yet, you don't appreciate it, learn Hilchos Tzitzis. And guess what? Hilchos Tzitzis will become more valuable to you. If you don't understand certain nuances in tznius because you never learned about them, so learn about it and you'll appreciate it. Chazon Ish writes, and I'm going to be talking about it. If a person wants to develop a certain connection to certain halachos, learn about those halachos and it will connect you in a much deeper way. You'll feel connected to the halacha. You'll want to do it. You'll want to keep that halacha because it's part of you. If you never learn it, you don't know what it's about. You're never going to want to come and incorporate it in your life. Number two, keep your eyes on the prize. It's a bumpy road. It's not always so exciting. It's not always the most rosy. It's not always easy. It's usually not easy. But everyone knows that if you want to be matzliach in life, and whatever you want to, if your goal is Ben Torah, if my destination is Ben Torah, so then put a picture of your head of a Ben Torah that you want to be. Keep your eyes on that picture as much as you can, and work as much as you can towards becoming that person. And the third, which is so obvious, but people just think it's not true, but it's so true. People think, if I become Ben Torah, I'm going to have no life. I'm going to be a loser. People are going to think that I have no personality, I have no enjoyment in my life, and I can't have fun, I can't have a good time. Rabosai, trust me, don't trust me. Trust anybody. Look in the world, who's happy? Who's really happy? People that are partying all night in C-R-A-C-K-S-Q-U-A-R-E? No, they're not really happy, they're not. They're smiling a lot, maybe they have a momentary joy, but they're not happy. People in the Beis Medrash that are fighting over Abaye and Rava, and Rabba and Rava, before I necht them, why? The Shema, Eidim Mitzvah Kaimel, they're overjoyed in their lives. There's so much simcha in that life. You're not giving anything up, if anything, the opposite. You're just gaining more and more along your way. I want to close with a story, and then just a bracha and a shout out to the challenge. This is a story that I read. It's a beautiful story. There was a great Rav in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael called Eitz Chaim. The cheder, the famous cheder Eitz Chaim in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rav was of Hakelman. He was a gadol, mamish. He was the Rebbe of Shlomo Zalman Orbach and other gadol in Israel. Listen to this beautiful story. One time he comes in late, and this is a mussar shmus to me. One time he comes into the yeshiva in a very fancy car, what they call in this car in this country a special. It's like a private taxi. That never happened in those days. He would walk. If he was late, he would take a bus. He comes in the cab, and it's like the biggest hack in the cheder. Everyone's like, whoa! I'm happy we came in today. In the cab, what's going on? And he came over to the Talmidim. He saw they were all excited. And he said, I want to explain to you what happened. This morning, he said, I woke up, and I had a lot of things to do before I came to teach today. I looked at my watch, and I saw, if I walk, and even if I take a bus, I'm going to be a few minutes late to teach. I can't be a few minutes late to teach. So he ordered a cab to come to yeshiva. The boys were so floored by his behavior. They sat during recess and tried to make a cheshbon. How much money does Rav Hakelman made on a monthly salary? And how much, what percentage of his salary was given up to be on time in yeshiva so he wouldn't be late and miss a few minutes of teaching Torah to the boys? Wow. Shlemus. Shlemus. That's unbelievable. That's a musar shmus to me, personally. Shlemus avoda. When a person does avodas Hashem, it's not 50%, 70%, 99.5%. It's 100% in. That's what that story tells me about. In the Shir Shlomo on Sunday, we say Pasuk in Tehillim, Mi Ya'aleh B'har Hashem. Who's going to ascend the mountain of Hashem? U'mi Yakum B'Mkom Kodesho. And who's going to be able to stay there? It's one thing to ascend, another thing to stay on the mountain. And the answer the Pasuk says is Nekicha Paim Avar Leilav. A person that's clean, a person that's shalim, a person that's whole, a person that strives for greatness and avodas Hashem, he will be the one that will be able to sustain, not only climb the mountain, but sustain that status. We are about to embark, Rabosai, on 9 incredible days. Emirat Hashem. In 15 minutes, the clock starts. 1 o'clock begins. And the floodgates open into the Beis HaMedrash. And we mentioned before that there's 3 amudim. There's Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. But if we go back all the way to the beginning of the Shmuz, we mentioned before that Yaakov's Shlemus began. Yaakov Ish Tam. Why was he Ish Tam? What helped him achieve his perfection? Yoshev Olim. Because he sat and he pounded it out. He grinded it out. He chazered and chazered 14 years. Not 9 days. 14 years. Pounded it out. And that's how Yaakov became Ish Tam. I give us a bracha. We should be zocha to use these 9 days properly. And we should be zocha, Be'ez Hashem, to always strive as much as we can to be that Ben Torah through and through, both consistently and fully committed to Avodas Hashem. Amazing.